One of the biggest successes in the history of TV is the show American Idol. Currently, it is showing in its 12th season. Probably some of you are monitoring it. It is a singing contest that goes through a long and grueling process of voting, first by designated judges and later when the top 10 comes by the American public until one wins. Contestants routinely declare when they do their audition, "I am the next American Idol." And there have been plenty of comic cases na kung saan ang contestant ay wala namang talento sa pag-awit, pero andun yung kanyang kumpiyansa. He is very confident that he will be the next American Idol even though talent is very obviously lacking. Now, here is an essential character of any idolatry, whether showbiz or religious, the element of illusion. Isang karakter ng pag-iidolo ay ilusyon. The illusion is obvious when it comes to idolizing showbiz celebrities. After all, we all know they are not gods. But we are in a series of messages that addresses a less obvious idolatry, but with as much illusion. And I am using the biblical expression, idols of the heart. It is in the internal altar of our humanity, mga idolo ng puso. Ang mga idolong ito ay hindi mga nililok na mga imahe na dinadamitan, ngunit tunay silang mga idolo sapagkat sila ay tunay na sinasamba sa paraan na maaring hindi nakikita, hindi nararamdaman ng mga sumasamba sa kanila. But you see, the essence of idolatry is that it is something that fills the place that belongs to God alone. It is treated as God. Last week we saw it in the idolatry of success. Success is good, but it is not a God. And beware that we do not worship it. Success in the place of God, we said, will always prove to be a failed idol. Ang pag-iidolo sa tagumpay ay magpapatunay na ito ay isang bigong idolo. Next to success that we will address this afternoon is wealth. And I will use the case of Abraham. Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. Let's read from verse 1 to verse 15. Genesis 13 verses 1 to 15. So Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the Negev. Now Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. And he journeyed on from the Negev as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place where he had made an altar at the first. And there Abram called upon the name of the Lord. And Lot, who went with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents, so that the land could not support both of them dwelling together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. At that time, the Canaanites and the Perizzites were dwelling in the land. Then Abram said to Lot, "Let there be no strife between you and me and between your herdsmen and my herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Separate yourself from me. If you take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if you take the right hand, then I will go to the left." And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw the Jordan Valley was well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt in the direction of Zoar. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself all the Jordan Valley, and Lot journeyed east. Abram settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled among the cities of the valley and moved his tent as far as Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked, great sinners against the Lord. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, "Lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land that you see I will give to you and to your offspring forever." Just a brief passage in the next chapter, if you will, chapter 14, verses 21 to 24. Genesis 14, 21 to 24. This was after Abram rescued Lot from captivity, and he rescued him with among the beneficiaries, the king of Sodom. And in verse 21, the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the persons, but take the goods for yourself. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted my hand to the Lord, God, Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I would not take a thread or a sandal strap or anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abram rich. I will take nothing but what the young men have eaten and the share of the men who went with me. Let Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre take their share. Now Abraham was called by God from the land of Ur. We know that's that part of the story. He would be directed to a place where he would settle, and from there the nation of Israel is going to be born. He has an important calling to start a nation that God will use as instrument for the blessing of the world. And at this point of the story, he is being prepared for an all-important covenant which will happen in chapter 15. And this covenant will be defining of the biblical storyline. That's how important Abraham is to the Old Testament and indeed to the whole biblical storyline. Inihanda si Abraham dito para sa pakikipagtipan na gagawin ng Diyos sa kanya. Mangyayari ito sa chapter 15. At dito inihanda siya ng Panginoon at ipinapakita rito ang isang karakter nitong si Abraham na kung paano siya inihanda sa tipan ng Diyos. We are given a demonstration of the character of this man through his management of his great wealth. Here is a man who, while wealthy, did not make an idol of wealth. And yet he was surrounded by nations, indeed by individuals, who made an idolatry of it. And so let me give you this message by way again of warning. Wealth in the place of God will always prove to be a poor idol. Ang kayamanan na humahalili sa Diyos ay mapapatunayang dukhang idolo. Wealth in the place of God will always prove to be a poor idol. Now, I have said of idols that of themselves, they are not evil. They are not wrong. They can prove useful. We said that of success, and we can say that of wealth. You could probably think of many good things that you could do if only you had more money. Philanthropy, ministry, and many things else that probably you can do better if you only had the money. So money in itself as a servant can be a good thing. Beware, however, lest you begin to pursue it as an idol. And let me suggest, using the story of Abraham, look at wealth in three connections. First, wealth and relation. Ang kayamanan at ang mga relasyon. Secondly, wealth and righteousness, ang kayamanan at ang katuwiran. And thirdly, wealth and reverence, kayamanan at pagsamba. Wealth and relation, wealth and righteousness, wealth and reverence. First of all then, look at wealth in connection with relation. Tingnan natin ang kayamanan sa kanyang pagkakarugtong sa relasyon. When Abraham left Ur, he brought along his substantial means, including livestock, servants, and even his kinsfolk. Strife began to develop between his side and the side of his nephew Lot, and they decided to part ways. Now, even though Abraham has the right of first choice, being patriarch of the clan, he let Lot take the first choice. But you see here already what idolatry of wealth can do. The idolatry of wealth is a destroyer of relations. Ang pag-iidolo ng kayamanan ay sumisira, pumipinsala ng mga relasyon. The strife that develops between the servants of Abraham and the servants of Lot, no doubt, is due to what we call today in business terms as competition. Resources are scarce. We are told that the land of that land cannot support all the livestock of the combined livestock of Lot and Abraham. So scarce resources, and they probably competed for market. And that's what competition does. Even between families, there can be competition when money begins to dominate. They have called competition a rat race, and it is a dog-eat-dog atmosphere. No one is willing to yield. And there are rampant cases today of pyramid scams and swindling and fraudulent trades. What explains that? What explains is that when money becomes idolized, relations and people don't matter that much. Wala silang pakialam sa mga nasisirang buhay basta sila ay kumita. For the sake of financial advantage, relations are sacrificed to climb the ladder to the top, step on people. Tumapak ka ng mga tao para ikaw ay umangat. Ikaw ay yumaman. Yan ang mentalidad ngayon. This is not only true between competitors in business. As in our text, family feuds break out because of money. Legal experts will tell you that the most number of cases that clog our courts pertain to inheritance settlement. Ang pinakamaraming kaso na nagbabara ng mga proseso ng korte ay may kinalaman sa pagtatalo-talo at pag-aaway-aaway ng mga pamilya tungkol sa mana. Ipinapakita nito how chasing after money destroys relations. And it is exactly this attitude of breaking relations for the sake of wealth that we heard Jesus indicting someone in the gospel. You remember that episode when someone approached Jesus and requested him to arbitrate between him and his brother concerning inheritance. And Jesus rebuked him, "Who made me an arbitrator of your conflict?" And then he gave this warning in Luke 12:15, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." Mag-ingat kayo na hindi kayo na babalot ng kasakiman. Greed. Do you know that Jesus gives more warning against greed than even against the sin of lust? And it has been observed that while it is possible for people to admit to other sins, they can admit to the sin of pride, of wrath, of lust, it is very hard for people to admit greed. And yet Jesus warned against it more than most. We know that the Nazis gassed millions of Jews during World War II. But did you know that before they did, they tried to know who among the Jews had golden teeth and extracted the gold from their teeth before they sent them to the gas chamber? In the midst of excessive cruelty, they did not forget to be greedy. That's what greed does. Greed blinds to fellow humans. And this is what idolatry of wealth does. It breaks relations. The most destructive force created by man is the nuclear bomb. And the basic mechanism of the nuclear bomb is splitting the atom. And that's what the idolatry of wealth does, splits relations. It is destructive. So the challenge to us is nurture your company. Nurture your company, especially in the church. Abraham and Lot represented what the church was in the Old Testament, and they would become the full-blown covenant community. They were the core, they were the germane seed that will lead to Israel. And that is the appeal of Abraham to Lot. We should not have strife because we are brethren. For only the second time in the Bible, the word brethren is used. But we have to admire the magnanimity of Abraham in this story. As I have said, he had a right of first choice, but he would not worsen the strife. He had his nephew do the choosing first, and he would be the one to adjust whatever his choice is going to be. Abraham clearly was not thinking of competition. He wasn't thinking of his economic advantage. We are brethren. That was the dominant thing to Abraham. And this is something which we can also say of our relationship, brethren. How much of your income has something to do with the church, something to do with the brethren. Charles Spurgeon made an observation of someone he knew who, when his money was small, he gave a big proportion of his income to the church. But as it began to grow, he would give less and less. And Spurgeon commented, as his pocket became golden, his heart became bronze. Tumitigas yung kanyang puso pagdating sa mga simulain ng Diyos habang siya ay nagkakaroon ng mas maraming ginto. That's not the attitude of Abraham. Neglect of fellowship in the church due to occupation with pursuit of wealth is to make an idol of it. I know many churches that began as nurturing fellowships and then they begin to have a ministry with a lot of money involved. Perhaps they built a school. And then money concerns began to afflict the church. And what was once a nurturing fellowship became business conflict. That's something that I hope will never happen. There's the warning of the Apostle Paul when Christians involved in business begin to make disputes. He says in 1 Corinthians 6, 7, and 8, to have lawsuits at all with one another is already a defeat for you. Why not rather suffer wrong? Why not rather be defrauded? But you yourselves wrong and defraud even your own brothers. Suffer yourself to be defrauded? This is not going to sound right to someone who is a member of the rat race. Hindi papayag ang sino mamang paagrabyado pagdating sa negosyo, kalakalan. And yet that is what Paul says. It is so ugly when it afflicts brethren to be discussing in a quarrelsome way matters about money. But I'll tell you, I know personally a lawyer who professes to be a Christian. I know him personally because we became members of the same organization. And not only that, because I stood witness in one of his cases. This man has built his career lawyering between Christians who quarrel in court and Christian organizations that he brings to court. And I just ask myself, how can he take it in conscience? A violation of the scripture, and yet he builds his career on it. He gets his money in his pocket by disobeying scripture, by stoking the flame of conflict between Christians. So are their relations affected because of your pursuit of wealth? Abraham would have none of that. Wealth and relation, but secondly, wealth and righteousness. The man who demonstrates idolatry of wealth in the first account is Lot. We are told that Lot, after being given the first choice, did not even have the courtesy of recognizing Abraham's right of first choice. We are told that immediately he lifted up his eyes and saw that the Jordan Valley was well watered everywhere. He had his spectacles of business, and when he looked at the Jordan Valley, he saw capital. He saw market. He saw booming business. And yet, just a few verses later, we are given this description by the author of Genesis. Now the men of Sodom were wicked, great sinners against the Lord. If he had godly spiritual eyes, Lot should have seen danger, compromise, temptation. Instead, it's all capital for him. And here we learn that the idolatry of wealth will compromise righteousness. Ang pag-iidolo ng kayamanan ay iko-kompromiso ang ating katuwiran. We know what became of Lot and his family. We just recently dwelt on the judgment upon his wife, the moral looseness that his daughters became. He himself, by his actions, displays the infection of Sodom and Gomorrah upon his character. And all of this is rooted in his judgment of opportunity, all by the economic advantage that it provides. When Paul listed a series of sins, he stopped and paused on covetousness just to call it idolatry. Colossians 3:5. Ang kasakiman ay pagsamba sa idolo. Greed is idolatry. When Jesus warned that wealth, one's life does not consist in abundance, to consist is to be defined by what you own and consume. It refers to people who, if they lose their wealth, do not feel they have a self-identity left. And it is no wonder, when there are economic depressions, there is an increase of suicide. There is a correlation. When Wall Street fell in 1929, there was a spate of suicides. When people who went to the stock market in the morning, one day of October 1929, their papers valued at millions, at the end of the day, it was just a piece of paper. And many of them jumped from tall buildings because they lost their identity. It's all about money. And we must beware. Gold is one of the most permanent elements, but it dissolves in strong acids like nitric and sulfuric. Consider money like sulfuric acid that will destroy righteousness. Consider it a sinful trade to endanger your soul in pursuit of money. There's an interesting description here of Lot. We are told that Lot settled among the cities of the valley and moved his tent as far as Sodom. It suggests that initially, Lot did not settle in Sodom. But then let's imagine what happened. Markets became bullish. Stocks boomed. And production went crazy. Profits were all over. And he saw as business expanded, he needed to go to Sodom. To him, it was just a pure, plain business decision that any stock trader in Wall Street or in Makati should understand. It's all business decision. He did not think of compromising. He did not think of exposing himself to temptation. It was just business decision. But you see, that's just the point. Nothing in the Christian life is just a business decision. Nothing. And if you make a decision for no other reason than business, you will compromise your righteousness. Are you in a similar vein with Lot? Do not make the mistake of seeing only the peso or dollar implication. Instead, look at what happened to Abraham. Nagparaya siya, hindi niya iniisip yung kanyang kalamangan, but after Lot decided to go to the Jordan Valley, the Lord appeared to Abraham and told him, "All the land that you see, I will give to you and to your offspring forever." Such a story has been replicated many times. He who is not after money is blessed. And he who chases money like an idol is destroyed. Ingatan natin mga kapatid. Tandaan natin ang tunay na pagtitimbang na ibinigay ng Panginoon, Mark 8:36. Anong pakinabang na makamit ng tao ang buong sanlibutan at mapahamak naman ang kanyang kaluluwa? This is the true balance of profit. What shall it profit if he gains the whole world but forfeits his own soul? What does it matter, my friend, if your bank book, your credit card is filled with cash and money, and yet your soul is famishing? What does it matter if all your property is solid and your profit is in the black, but your soul is in dire poverty? John Calvin, when he decided to minister in Geneva, there was no money consideration at all. He said this, "Where riches hold the dominion of the heart, God has lost His authority. And that is still true. Kapag ang kayamanan ang magdumina sa puso, wala nang autoridad ng Diyos sa pusong iyon. Kaya tingnan natin ang pagkakarugtong ng kayamanan sa katuwiran, and then finally, wealth and reverence. The second account is Abraham's encounter with the king of Sodom, and he decided he will not ingratiate himself to the king of Sodom. Hindi siya magkakaroon ng utang na loob sa hari ng Sodoma. Here we learn that the idolatry of wealth will damage effective witness to the true God. The mind of Abraham was set to honor his God, and he would not put himself under gratitude to the king of a wicked city. And he did not accept whatever offer of goods by the king of Sodom. The mentality of the king of Sodom reveals today's philosophy that money talks. It's trying to buy Abraham's loyalty. But Abraham is thinking of his testimony to God, not his bank account. He refuses the money of the wicked. And the scandal of today's prosperity gospel is that their bank account is their testimony to God. Abraham refused that mentality. Look at his description of God. The Lord God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. He is saying in effect to the king of Sodom, you are buying my loyalty with a very small portion of what belongs to my God. And he can't be bought. It is as foolish as buying an Eskimo's loyalty by offering him snow. Parang binibili mo ang loyalty ng isang Eskimo na napapaligiran siya ng snow. Eh, ganun ang sinasabi ni Abraham sa kari ng Sodom. Binibili mo ang aking loyalty samantalang pag-aari niyang lahat ng aking Panginoon. What it challenges us, brethren, is value your worship of God as without any competition. Pahalagahan mo ang iyong pagsamba sa Diyos na walang karibal, walang kaagaw. When worship is priority, you will be able to address such buyouts by people like the king of Sodom. You will not buy into the common protest I hear again and again, but Sunday is market day. Sunday is the best business day. Why should it be Sabbath to us while others enjoy the income and profit of the day? If worship is priority to us, we will not buy into that kind of protest. And to Christians, all the more. For the Apostle Paul couched the coming of Jesus in the language of economic terms when he said in 2 Corinthians 8:9, he who was rich, this is the grace of God, that he who was rich for your sake became poor. And with that model, we should forever be able to answer temptations of money that will entail forsaking of God, forsaking of our commitment. Amidst financial concerns, which I know can be a very real struggle, but amidst financial concerns, do you worship God? One of the stalwart theologians of today is J.I. Packer, James Packer. He's into semi-retirement now, but he's still one of the best Reformed theologians still living. And his best-known book is Knowing God. And he tells the story on how he came into writing the book. It was when he was talking to a friend who was just dismissed from teaching a Bible school because he would stand by the clear teachings of the scriptures while that school has gone liberal. And this friend simply said, it doesn't matter. I know God, and they don't. And that struck Packer, which led to the writing of one of the most influential books to my own upbringing, knowing God. Because a man knows God, it doesn't matter that he's dismissed and perhaps lost for a while his means of income, but he would not compromise his knowledge of God. And that is still the challenge today. Money still talks. Money still powerful. But we have here a man whom God used mightily and whom with whom God will make a covenant. He did not make an idolatry of wealth. And you and I need not make an idol of wealth if in any way it is seeping into your heart, forming itself into an idol. Break it immediately and return to your God. Once more, refresh your reverence for God. And he will prove faithful to everyone who makes a priority of God in his word. Let us sing our last hymn, which reminds us precisely of this. O God of Bethel, by whose hand your people still are fed, who through this weary pilgrimage have all our fathers led. And may we truly be assured, as the last verse says, such blessings from your gracious hand our humble prayers implore, and you shall be our chosen God and portion evermore. Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos, kagaya ni Abraham, ay tinatawag ka naming may-ari ng langit at ng lupa. Nasa iyo ang lahat ng mga bundok at lahat ng mga ginto. At dahil dito, hindi kami dapat na mag-idolo ng kayamanan. Kaya tulungan mo kami na magkaroon ng saloobing katulad kay Abraham. Kami man ay payamanin mo o kami ay manatili sa karukhaan, ay walang kadahilanan na mag-idolo kami ng kayamanan. Help us, Lord, to learn to look at wealth in connection with relation. We saw how such can be a destroyer of relations when wealth becomes an idol. Instead, grant that we may learn to treasure our company with the brethren. May we not erode into pursuing wealth to the point of being in distance from the brethren and from the church. Help us also, Lord, to look at wealth and its connection to righteousness. May Lot's choice be a warning to us when he saw nothing more than that the Jordan Valley was well watered. He saw simply a business decision. And may we bear in mind that in the Christian life, nothing is pure business decision. And while we are to mind our business, to mind our work, to earn an honest living, yet nothing is pure business, because we must always think of our righteousness. And Lot has compromised his because of simply deciding in money terms. And may we never do that. May we consider it a sinful trade to endanger our soul in pursuit of wealth. And help us to see the connection of wealth to our reverence, to our worship. May we emulate Abraham, who would not ingratiate himself to wicked money, but he was mindful of his witness to his God. And help us, Lord, to be mindful as well. May we value our worship of you without any rival, without any competition. And when we do, we will not buy into many rationalization of being away from worship just to earn more. May we be Christians who truly emulate the Lord Jesus Christ, who though he was rich, yet for the sake of others was willing to be poor. So be with us and grant that we may break any idol of wealth that may be at the initial stage or even in a dominant stage in anyone. And grant that we may only worship you, and you will prove, as you have always done, that you will provide all our need according to the riches in glory of Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.